To me, the greatest disaster will be when I no longer can help people. I really take pride in being able to serve.
Welcome to Resonate, conversations and life lessons from Rancho La Puerta. I'm your host, Barry. I can't think of a better way to introduce you to Rancho La Puerta than to introduce you to our co-founder, Deborah Zeke. Deborah and her husband, Professor Edmund Zeke, arrived here in Tecate, Mexico in 1940. In fact, this is the house they lived in the first 10 years from 1940 to 1950. Almost immediately upon arrival, they welcomed the first guest to the ranch. At that time, it was $17.50, bring your own tent. But since they had no staff, nor could they afford a staff, each of those early guests worked 2 hours a day for Deborah. At 17, Deborah learned to be a good manager. In 1958, Deborah opened a sister spa in California called the Golden Door. With the success of the ranch and the Golden Door, Deborah became known as the godmother of the fitness industry. When Deborah turned 60, when most people were planning their retirements, not Deborah, she headed to Washington, D.C., where she had a 17-year career. While in Washington, D.C., Deborah commissioned a management manual for Congress, setting course, now in its 17th edition. She ran a federal agency called the Inter-American Foundation, and she founded Eureka Communities, an organization that supplies support to CEOs of nonprofits. Upon her return to her home in San Diego, Deborah started a museum, the New Americans Museum. Her hope is that visitors will find out what immigrants contribute and bring to our country. The list goes on, but I want you to have the opportunity to meet Deborah. In less than a month, Deborah will have spent 102 years on this planet. I've had the pleasure of knowing Deborah for almost 25 years. I feel super blessed to have known her as a boss, as a mentor, as a second mom, and as truly one of the dearest friends I've ever had. As you can see, I love this woman so much, and I know you will too.
Good morning, Deborah. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
It's nice to see you. Usually we're talking in person, and today we're talking from different rooms, and I got headsets on, but yeah. New experience. So Deborah, you have a birthday coming up May 3rd. How old will you be this May 3rd?
I'll be 102.
Wow. Did you ever contemplate becoming 102?
I never thought about age. Anyway, I was too busy living in the time I was living to worry about the future or the past.
People often say that with age comes wisdom. Do you agree?
It depends on the person. Sometimes it comes stupidity because you forget a lot.
I don't think that's stupidity. I think that's kind of normal, right? That we forget. Can you think of any wisdom that you've gained over living this many years?
I realized that I set a good path a long time ago. That you live a long life means you're doing the right thing. You're eating the right thing, thinking the right thing, acting the right thing. That you're doing right and not doing wrong.
Right. Do you ever think about the passage of time and the idea of legacy? Well, I think that people who know you would say you're a living legacy.
That's lovely, and I like it. But I don't know how long my legacy will last. You know, life moves on fast, so I'm not worried about it. Whatever will be, will be. I won't be around to judge.
What are some things you like about being the age you are today?
Well, I'm very lucky that I'm not poor. So I have very good care. I have a full-time care of someone, so he's overseeing me and helping me, because I use a walker, because when I didn't use a walker, I fell, and twice I fell and broke a rib, several ribs, and, you know, and all those are very great inconveniences.
Yes.
So that's the inconvenience of getting older, is that you're not really, some people have a bad gait. I was pigeon-toed as a child, and pigeon-toed as an adult is not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been using a walker? It's pretty recent.
About 3 years, two, three years.
Yeah, not that long. Yeah. So besides having to use a walker, are there some other challenges of reaching 100?
I have hearing aids, which I use when I'm ever in two people, doesn't need it. But when I'm three or more, I can keep up with the conversation with hearing aids. But otherwise, you know, you become more patient. I used to be impatient, and now I find that, you know, if I have to wait or do this or that, it doesn't bother me. I get the long view, I guess. You get some experience that you, some skills you develop that you didn't have before.
I would have to say I've known you for over 20 years now, and I've noticed that you are more patient than you were when I first met you 20 years ago. So that's a true statement, I would say. If someone is blessed to live a long life, what's some advice you would give them?
Keep on doing whatever was right that brought you to the long life. And right. Really, truly, I don't make exceptions. I really believe in, you know, in a simple diet and activity. I walk every day an hour in the park. I think that's a religious obligation to living a long life.
Right. I remember one time you told me that movement means life. Stop moving, you stop living. That was some good advice I took from you. How important do you think relationships are to you?
Very. If I didn't have friends, you know, I read someplace that loneliness is equivalent to smoking 14 cigarettes a day. And I don't like loneliness, and I'm not smoking.
Mm-hmm.
So I have lots of friends, and I keep them.
Yeah. I would imagine you don't have a lot of friends that are 100 years old, though, now, do you?
I do not have any. Most 100-year-olds have their own surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
Have their own friends that have been with them for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are not lonely people, and everyone has their own circle.
I can remember one time you telling me that it's important to make younger friends and don't wait till you're 80 to do it.
Yes. Well, the thing is, 80-year-olds are not looking for new friends, so you're much better at making them at 40, 30 and 40. Or 20 and 30 and 40,
mm-hmm.
You know, because friendship is a building, and it's layers of relationships. It's not something that you just walk in and she's a good friend. I used to say that you can measure friendship by if you call them and said, I need your help, you know they'll be in their car on the way to come and help.
Right. Do you have a handful of friends that you would put in that category?
Yes, for sure.
How old are your best friends?
I'm 100 and they're in their 70s.
Wow. Yeah. And you stay socially active?
Yes. What do I do with myself? And I've recently become active in Rotary, and I never miss a Thursday meeting because it's one way to, the speakers are so interesting. That each one is like going to school.
What things do you like to do for fun? What things do you enjoy doing?
I love theater, and I go to every single play at the Globe Theater, and I go to opera in Los Angeles, which means I go on matinee because it's a 2-hour drive.
Mm-hmm.
At 10, have a snack, go to the opera, and then have real dinner. And talk about it, and then we drive back, and we get home around 10 at night.
When's the last time you went to the opera?
3 days ago.
Wow. Which opera did you see? Do you remember?
It was two operas. Both of them were revivals. One was a new one, and I shouldn't say both. One was a revival. One was a new. The new one was 101, The Highway. One.
Okay.
And this second one was called Dwarfs. And that was an old revival. And both were very interesting. but not as interesting as I love the classic opera. And I've got tickets for next week in San Diego, Madame Butterfly.
Oh, it's going to be in San Diego. That's wonderful.
Yes, I won't have to go to LA.
I've heard you say before that you're a bookworm. You like to read.
Very much. That's why I don't need tons of friends, because I have books that are friends.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of books do you like to read these days?
Well, I try to alternate between one for just sheer pleasure, which mm-hmm. is usually Japanese 9th century murder mysteries. And for learning, right now, I've been looking at a book called How Not to Die. And I've just got it, and I'm just starting to look at it. Mm-hmm. And it looks like it'll be diet and all the things we do. But I want to see if it's something else. So
I think you might have been able to write that book, actually.
Yes.
Yourself.
So, I might use it as a model.
Are there any things, values that you think the younger generation need to uphold going forward?
Well, the word values, things, values that continued existing, friendship, being kind, helping others. To me, the greatest disaster will be when I no longer can help people. I really take pride in being able to serve.
You have said a few times that you can't give with a closed fist. I remember you saying that.
She used to say, giving is receiving.
Yeah. It goes both ways, right?
Yeah. Right. You can't give with a closed hand.
Right. So you mentioned some of the things that have kept you is movement. You believe in exercise and eating healthy. Tell us what you eat. You said you eat basic diet.
Very simple. I eat in the morning. I have yogurt, some whole grain cereal, and bananas. And I have the same breakfast every day, and it's never boring. And it's just some slight bananas on top of it, which is the top of some whole grain, and some raisins. Make it sweet. I have a sweet tooth.
And what do you have for lunch and dinner then?
Lunch is always a salad and mixed vegetables with cottage cheese. Mm-hmm. So for some reason or other, I don't look for excitement in food.
Yeah.
I look for nourishment and what does well. And dinner is different ones that the chef at the ranch or in the old days, the Golden Dome made. But basically, they're all healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I do never eat meat. I've never eaten meat. And everything, it's a diet for the long run, because I knew a long time ago that I probably would have a long life. And so I ate accordingly.
Yeah, I think you said you were raised kind of, your mom was a health nut, wasn't she?
Exactly. And we were vegetarians always. So from the time I was four. My mother, we became vegetarian when I was four. When I was eight, there was a depression, and we moved to Tahiti and ate lots of tropical foods. And at that time, too many rich tropical foods had lots of sugar. And my family, my brother, and my parents all got boils. And so we started adding fish to our diet. And so I am a pescatarian.
Right, right.
And it was a name that didn't exist at that time, but now is lots and lots of people.
Right.
Lots and lots of young people. And it's important. Climate is changing. There's less and less water. Cows consume a great amount of water and will become a luxury. We'll all become vegetarians, pescatarians, because the cow just consumes many times its weight in water over a period, and they'll become a luxury we can't afford.
So we'll all become vegetarians out of necessity.
Yeah.
My name is Betty Rauch, and I've been to the ranch at least 33 times with my friend Linda Wertheimer. One of the things that Deborah has said, that the motto of Rancho La Puerta is siempre mejor, always better. And it's actually true. Every single time we come here, something new has been added, something different, something special. This is an extraordinary place to be. It is siempre mejor, and everybody should have the experience of Rancho La Puerta.
You've lived over 100 years, so there's probably been a lot of things that are in existence that didn't exist when you were a child. What are some of the most significant things that you think have been invented during your lifetime?
Or perfected. The automobile has been made available, and payment plans that right. You can get a car so that everybody has a car and they pay for it gradually. Mm-hmm. And they're made incentives to buy a car.
Right.
One way you can get cash is by buying a car.
Do you remember the first time you saw TV?
The first time I saw TV. The first time I watched a lot of TV was The Man on the Moon.
Oh, right. First Man on the Moon. Everybody that was a very significant event. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Do you still watch TV?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not a great deal. But what I watch is British TV. I don't like violence, and American TV has too much violence, too many mm-hmm. car chases, mm-hmm. and British TV is much more sophisticated. Only watch British TV after I've had a busy, busy day. At night, I'll watch for an hour, but I watch the news religiously, mm-hmm. and not too many, but I mean just one newscast does it for me a day.
How do you manage to stay positive when you watch the news every day?
I know what I can control, and I know what I can't control. I know my capacity, and some of the things are just suffering to watch, mm-hmm. and I don't watch them for long.
So with all the things that you've seen in your life, is there still something that makes you, puzzles you, that's still going on, or makes you raise your eyebrow and think, wonder why?
I wonder why we don't update our school books mm-hmm. every 3-4 years. The world is changing, mm-hmm. and the responsibilities of the life that the children will have when they're 20 years old and 30 years, it doesn't prepare them. Mm-hmm. School books need rewriting mm-hmm. and rewriting frequently to be suitable to our culture that is changing, and most of all, to our climate, which is right. Climate change is predictable. They should be prepared for that.
I think you like to travel.
Yes. And I like new things, and I like new challenges. And yes, I definitely do like to travel. And I'm going to New York that's my gift to myself for my 102 birthday.
What are you going to do in New York?
Well, I have lots of friends who I mm-hmm. hope are still alive and I can revisit. I haven't been for a while. The last time I went to Washington was about 8 months ago, when I went to receive the flag that was flown over the Capitol building on my birthday in my honor. And I really and treasure that flag and have it on my wall. And right. The whole experience was really something.
And that's due to the 17-year career you had in Washington and all the things that you did there.
The cumulative effect. But right. It's something to do with being 100.
Where do you have that flag right now?
I have it on the wall of my study.
Where do you think is your favorite place that you've traveled?
It really depends on who I'm going to see, which friends. It's the friends that matter more than the trip.
Right. You had mentioned one time that you've been to Japan many times.
Yes. 12.
12 times. That's a few.
And my next trip is New York. But after that, I have another trip that will be to Japan.
Right. Right. Is there any place on the planet that you still would like to go to that you haven't been to?
Every place. I really enjoy traveling, but I enjoy making new friends and seeing old friends. It's connected with family that have scattered.
Right.
And I like going to visit them.
Right. Do you have any particular special memories from being a child?
Well, yes. When I think of about 8 years into Haiti, I remember I was shot. Somebody was out target practicing, and a stray bullet ended up in my arm. And nobody's allowed to shoot or hunt in Tahiti, so nobody thought it was a bullet. And so for about a year, I wandered around carrying buckets of sand to straighten my arm, because the bullet had lodged in my elbow, but nobody knew it about bullets. And then one day, the head doctor took me out of school in his buggy, horse and buggy, and took me to a warship, a French warship, mm-hmm. that had just come into the harbor that had x-ray machines. And they mm-hmm. saw the bullet. And then I knew I was going to have chloroform that gets me so sick. Mm-hmm. So they could take the bullet out. And I still have the scar on my elbow. It's right mm-hmm. in. Was set. It just nestled in the elbow. It hit the elbow, went in, and could go no further. And no one knew it was a bullet, so I carried it for about a year or two.
What did they think was wrong?
That a fish had jumped up. In the newspapers, they said a fish had jumped up and broke my arm because my brother and I violated the taboos. So we went to school on a shortcut that took us through some sacred land, and yeah. we walked over the sacred land. And everybody was upset, but we were kids from New York, and mm-hmm. we didn't worry about the sacred land, you know. Shortcut.
So the fish was getting you for doing that, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think that any of us can get through this life without actually suffering some loss. And I know that you have lost your son, you've lost a granddaughter, and you probably lost a lot of colleagues, a lot of peers, and friends.
Friends like everybody else does, inevitably.
So how do you personally deal with loss?
You just hope that they are going on to a better life, better time.
Mm-hmm.
You can't capture and hold those spirits. Mm-hmm. They have a future, and you just send positive thoughts for their mm-hmm. future life. You grieve, yes, for a while. When my mother died, I went to bed for a week and cried.
Mm-hmm.
But then stopped crying. But I literally went to and just stayed in bed and cried. I felt so lonely and mm-hmm. such a great loss.
I can remember one time you telling me that you feel like the people that are gone, that their souls are not happy when you're sad.
Yes. I really feel that way. It mm-hmm. is my job for mom to look down and know I'm having a good life.
Mm-hmm.
And they only look down for perhaps 6 months or the first year, but their soul lingers until they finally disengage and fly out.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to send them positive images.
Right. I think that I read somewhere that I think it's the number one fear that most human beings have is the fear of death. And I guess as you get older, we all think about it a little more. Do you fear physical death?
No, not at all. When the time comes, the time comes.
Do you have any personal thoughts about what happens after this life, after this physical existence? Do you believe in a soul or an essence? Energy.
You believe that nothing in nature is wasted.
Mm.
And so somewhere or other, the powers that be has figured out that. Mm-hmm. It's not something I'm going to be able to figure out. But I really do believe that in the beginning, they are around and gradually they fly off. In the beginning, you should mourn for them, but not excessively.
Right. So I know that people always ask for you to write a book. And I do know for your 100th book, you released this book. It's called 100 Lessons from a Grasshopper. And this is 100 little quotes that people have written down that you've said over the years. So I'll just read a couple of my favorites and maybe you want to comment on them. This is one of my favorites. Never define your success by saying something negative about someone else. Your merits are yours and yours alone. So you don't believe in saying being negative ever.
There's no purpose. Mm-hmm. If they're really negative enough, other people will recognize it, and the other people don't recognize they weren't that negative. But it has nothing to do with me.
Right. You've described yourself as a Pollyanna. What does that mean to people?
You look on the right side, on mm-hmm. the bright side, and Pollyanna is in a historical figure of a little girl who looked on the bright side of life. You know, there's so much beauty and so much happiness and so much help. Dwell on that and not on the misery. That unless you can do something about it.
Right, right.
If you can't, don't bring it home.
This is one that I have written and it's sitting on my nightstand. It's from your book. It says, when a door in life opens, at least poke your nose out.
I believe in that.
Yes, I believe so too. That's a positive thing too. I love this one. Is the main thing is have fun, not tomorrow, today. So are you having fun?
Yes, I'm enjoying our conversation.
But
and doing it.
Right. What makes you happy every morning when you wake up?
I bless the angels who take care of me. I have a connection to the trees that I look at. I see them as sisters and brothers, as family. And I'm very lucky that I have the money to be really, truly practice mm-hmm. luckiness. Mm-hmm. A great good fortune. I have wonderful friends and wonderful care. And right. And really, this surrounded by goodness.
If you could give all of our listeners one piece of advice to live a happy life, what do you think it would be?
You are the boss. You accept unhappiness or you reject it. You accept miserable friends that you can't help. And they're not those you don't accept as friends. Mm-hmm. You accept people you enjoy being with. Make choices. You don't have to be miserable. Even when if you're poor, it's easier mm-hmm. to make choices, of course, when mm-hmm. you have the money to sustain them. But make choices within your reach to be happy and turn your back on unhappiness. It's harder to do. Some people, and some people are very lucky like I am. I've had good fortune and have been very fortunate. But I've been expected to work for that good fortune and succeeded, which is very, very nice.
You want to know the best piece of advice you've ever given me that I carry with me every day? It is always do what's right.
And your mother taught you what's right and what's wrong. And as long as you do things that are right, 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 you'll never have to apologize.
Right. I agree. Well, I look forward to seeing you later today and next week and the next week. Thanks for spending this time with us today.
And have great success with your podcast.
Thank you. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast as much as I am. To learn more about our wonderful presenters and exciting weeks coming up at the ranch, go to rancholaporta.com and check out our events calendar. Make sure to mention the podcast when making your reservation to take advantage of a special offer. Some restrictions may apply. Now that you've met Deborah, you can see how she has inspired so many people and continues to inspire. In fact,
Just this last month, she was featured in an issue of People magazine that was honoring women that are changing the world. Deborah often says that curiosity is her middle name. She never stops reading, studying, and learning, and finding reasons to get up every day that she's excited about. I personally try to adhere to Deborah's golden rule, always do what's right. We have so many decisions to make each day. Decisions like, what will I eat? Will I find time to move my body and exercise today? And most importantly, what will I feed my mind and my spirit with today? I hope as you look at the decisions you make today, they are feeding your soul and in line with who you really want to be. Deborah shows us that age may be where you are, but it certainly is not who you are. Until next time, this is Barry wishing you health and daily joy.